I do think the main reason that, you know, they were going in the portal no matter what is Texas played nine SEC or nine Power Four teams this year. Out of all the Power Four teams this year, how many would you say had a better running back, RB1 or running back room than Texas? The answer is 6 to 9 of them. The only answer or only schools that have an argument to be made are Oklahoma, Mississippi State, and Kentucky.
That's pretty accurate.
You know what's wild? Kentucky, quick sidebar. Seth McGowan is getting like third and fourth round grades right now, which is blowing my mind, but go ahead.
How?
That's what I'm saying. That's blowing my mind right now.
But still, like 6 to 9 teams of the 9 teams Texas played at the Power Four level had a better running back than Texas did this year. They had to upgrade. And no matter what, if Wisner was going to be back in 2026, it's because he accepted being RB1B or RB2. And they would have loved to have him back for as a high-end RB2. But at the end of the day, like if you're Wisner, you have to understand it from his point of view and how he feels. Should he have asked for $1 million? Probably not. But shit, in his eyes, he's been RB1 2 years in a row, has performed great in big games, in rivalry games, and has steadied the ship whenever it's not been steady with injuries or other things, new coaches. So with Trey Wisner, it is what it is. And also, like, people like, oh, it's the agent. Oh, it's this. And it's like, man, Trey Wisner probably doesn't have an NFL career. They know that. He has 1 year of eligibility left. He's been a 2-year starter at Texas. He can make a lot of money next year and will make more money elsewhere. Not at Texas. And also, he can get more carries elsewhere. That'll help his case to be an NFL player. So, it sucks if you're a Texas fan, but at the end of the day,
he doesn't have the speed for the NFL.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's just business. You know, this would have never happened 10 years ago, but the game has changed. It's a different world of college football now, and everyone has to get theirs at the end of the day, and that's what he's doing. He feels like he's putting him and his family in the best spot, and I don't blame him at all. I probably would have done the same thing if I was him. So, yeah, it definitely sucks, but it is what it is, and it's just business.
All right, boys. Well, I'm going to get out of your all's business. How about that?
Nice. Nice segue.
Y'all be good, man. Have a good show. We'll be listening.
See you, Wags.
Sorry.
Apology not accepted.
Well, hey, welcome into the Lone Star Playbook. I'm Jordan Scruggs. That is Nick Harris. Don't really have more stuff on the Trey Wisner stuff. If you want to ask me about it, we'll talk about it. Ants once said, so now we wait official word from Jack Andrews and Trevor Goosby for a draft decision. Correct. Goosby intends to announce it after the bowl game. However, it still does very much seem or is expected that he will be back next year. That could always change. Maybe he has the game of his life on Wednesday, but as of right now, it's more likely than not. He is back in a Texas uniform next year. Now, regarding Jack Andrews, not nearly as clear-cut. He's playing in the game, has been practicing for the game, but is either going to go to the NFL or come back, and I don't have as clear of a read on that one. Either one could happen.
It's a bad tight end class, and he could be tight end 2 or 3 in this class based on how teams view Eli Stowers. I would definitely put him behind Max Clair and Eli Stowers, but he's in that 2, 3, 4 conversation. So, you know, probably something to factor in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, that makes a lot of sense for him. And, you know, Texas fans are going to be like, well, he didn't really do much this year. Well, he led Cal in receiving yards, touchdowns, and receptions 2 years in a row, playing with the 2025 Heisman winner, Fernando Mendoza. So, yeah. Temple of Brutus said Jaheim White from West Virginia did 800 yards in a horrific offense and is available. Yeah, but he also tore his ACL or had a major knee injury that ended his 2025 season. He's also like 5'6 on a good day and doesn't have top-end breakaway speed. And the only way I think that would have happened is if he would have been the second running back in a 2-man portal back class. If Chad Scott was around, he obviously isn't anymore. So with Jaheim White, I don't know. I'm curious what happens with him. You think he'd be leaving West Virginia to move up, but I mean, he's like 5'6 coming off of a knee injury. So he will have an interesting market. Jose said, Jordan, a lot has been made of wannabe agents like Wisner's. What is that, and how is that different to what other top players have in the portal? I don't know where this is coming from. Wisner has a real agent that's a real part of a real agency that works with even other players at Texas. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. He, at the end of the day, Wisner feels like he's doing what's best for him. And at the end of the day, Texas was always going to upgrade over him, whether he wasn't on the team or not in 2026. Whether that's Jaden Baugh or Hollywood Smothers, whatever his name is, or Isaac Brown from Louisville, he's expected to enter the portal. Like, they're going to get a difference maker running back, and no, they have to. So I wouldn't be worried about who ends up replacing Trey Wisner. It's obviously a different situation, but in some form or fashion, it is similar to what happened with Jaren Thompson and Keaton Crawford, where Texas basically said, hey, I mean, y'all can come back, but we're going to recruit someone over you out of the portal, and that player will start. He's going to be an upgrade. And that player was Drew Makuba, and it was a night and day difference. Yeah. Now, you know, whether it's Jaden Baugh or Isaac Brown or someone in the portal that's the difference maker, it will be an upgrade over Wisner. Probably not as big of a, you know, a difference as Makuba to Jaren Thompson, but it is kind of in a similar way. It's not like Texas told Wisner to get his ass in the portal, we're upgrading over you. But in some form or fashion, they basically did tell him that by not, you know, matching what he wanted them to pay him. So, yeah, that's kind of what I got there. Nathan said, Jordan, Dallas Wilson switching agents from Vernell Brown's dad. Yes, he is. A&M is trying to do a lot of stuff there. If he ends up in the portal, A&M is the most likely spot for Dallas Wilson, at least as of right now. Jaden Woods, so I need to make some calls on this, but Texas is the first school I thought of. True freshman edge rusher for Florida last year, total stud, who's freshman all SEC, played in all 12 games. I think he started a few of them, and pretty much had the best true freshman edge rushing season in America in 2025. So he will be one to watch for sure, and I personally haven't heard anything between him and Texas, but yeah. Sticky, I need to look at more of these guys in depth. I just don't know them well enough as offensive line portal prospects. But yeah, CBS is a North Texas running back, a possibility for Texas. CB is referring to Caleb Hawkins, true freshman stud for UNT this year. Was he a true freshman last year?
True freshman this year, 29 touchdowns, man.
Yeah. I know he's from Oklahoma, but he's from the OKC Metro, right?
He's from Shawnee, which is just a small town, kind of middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. But he's going to be a hefty price to pay. There's some big bags being thrown his way. So I would have to think he's either running back one or running back two as far as numbers go in the portal right now. He would have to be.
I mean, Kwon Lacy's going to make over $1.5 million next year, wherever he is. That he's in that range?
Yes.
Jaden Baugh is also up there. Isaac Brown will be up there.
If those guys enter, for sure. But, yeah, it's quite a market for Caleb Hawkins.
Yeah, and, like, do I think Texas is going to be interested? Is he a possibility? For sure. But Oklahoma State is going to be motivated to keep a lot of that, you know, that talent together for Eric Morris. They're obviously going to make a run at Drew Mestemaker. But even Oklahoma, they need a running back. They're in contact. They hit up Trey Wisner already. Like, Oklahoma needs a running back. Oklahoma State are going to be two at the top for him, most likely. And, I mean, if you're Texas, you'd love to have him as, like, a 1-2 punch with a Jaden Baugh, but you're not going to have $3.5 million tied to two running backs, especially if you're already going to be paying Derek Cooper seven figures. So. Yeah. Like, yes, as much as a dream and as awesome as it'd be to have a Caleb Hawkins and a Jaden Baugh, you don't get both those guys. It's one or the other. Same goes for Isaac Brown or Hollywood Smothers from NC State. So, I mean, you can't get everyone. Temple Brutus said, so Cooper will be RB2 or better next year as a freshman. I assume Jed is more RB3 at best his first season. I think it'll be portal player will be RB1. RB2 will be the second portal running back take because they're going to have to get two. And then I'd go Derek Cooper at RB3, maybe RB2. Jet Walker, I don't think he's going to play much as a true freshman. Perhaps, you know, in red zone scenarios, goal line scenarios, third and short, fourth and short, because he is a bigger body back. But for the most part, if he's going to play as a freshman, I do think it'll be on special teams. And also, I mean, Texas loves they love giving opportunities on special teams to true freshmen and then letting those guys earn opportunities on their actual side of the ball from there. Like Trey Wisner, you know, balled out on special teams year one and took that same fiery passion into year two when he was actually getting snaps at running back. So, yeah, Temple Bruta said, does Texas need defensive secondary positions filled this offseason as well? Linebackers, yeah, they're going to need one to two linebackers. One of them has to be a starting level guy. And then in the secondary, I think they should take one safety and one corner. That number might be zero to two in total for defensive backs. So I actually did, for the Stampede this morning, a story on 10 transfer portal players that make sense for Texas. Now, this obviously doesn't include the names I've heard that haven't, you know, yet announced their intentions to enter the portal. It's only guys that have announced intentions, but just going to roll through it real quick because I saw some of these names have been asked about. Cam Cook, Round Rock Stony Point product. Texas actually recruited him out of high school, but never offered, or I mean, they did offer him, but never really pushed for him. He ended up at TCU, didn't play much year one, was like RB2, RB3 year two, and then hit the portal, opted to go to Jack State, not in Jacksonville, Florida, actually in Alabama, and led the country or led the FBS in rushing yards, went over 1,600 average.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah, I double-checked it this morning.
I am today years old. Wow. Wow. Anyway, go ahead. That's crazy.
Wait, I never knew that. Wait, talking about Jack State being in Alabama?
Yeah, I never knew that.
You're such a fake G5er.
I know. Wow. That is crazy. I never knew that. That is
wild. Everyone finds out that Jack – well, most kids find out Jack State is in Alabama whenever they get offered and look it up. Yeah, you drive by it. I drive by it every year on the way from DFW to Atlanta. The stadium's right off the highway.
And it's like finding out Austin Peay is not in Austin when you're a kid. But anyway, wow.
I mean, wild. I don't think anyone was thinking about Austin Peay or Jack State. But with Cook, I mean, he makes sense. It's kind of a change of pace back if, like, the RB1 is going to be Baugh. But, I mean, Cook is going to have a high price tag. He'll be able to pick his spot. He's a top 10 running back in the portal. So I don't know how realistic he would be as like an RB2 take. And with that said, I don't know how realistic he would be as an RB1 take. So I think could end up just being a tweener that, you know, him and Texas don't end up clicking kind of like they did out of high school. Nick Marsh out of Michigan State is a name a lot of people know. Was a top prospect out of high school. And in two seasons with the Spartans, had 1,300 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns. Excuse me. He went over 600 yards back-to-back years, was their leading receiver back-to-back years, and is what Texas has, you know, typically looked for as a one-and-done, one-year rental receiver that plays 1 year and then goes to the NFL. He does have 2 years of eligibility, but is very much on pace to be a draft pick. People are going to hate it because he's had some drops. He had 7 in 2025, 1 each per game in their final 7 games of the year, but I mean, hey, he can open up a lot of things for the rest of the offense. He's a go-up-and-get-it possession receiver. He can offer some after the catch. And, like, if you're going, ew, he has drops with only 7 in 2025, what is your opinion on Ryan Wingo? You know, like, not everyone's going to be perfect. The people that will salivate if Ryan Williams enters the portal probably are going to forget he had, like, more drops than Wingo or Nick Marsh. So it's part of what it is with the receivers, but I do know Texas has had some form or fashion of communication with Marsh and Oris Camp. I do know that. Don't have much more besides that. I do think a USC or a Penn State is probably going to be willing to pay up more than Texas will, but I do think Texas is going to end up with a receiver. Danny Scudero led the country in catches, or led FBS, or not in catches, in receiving yards, had nearly 1,300 on 88 catches. 10 touchdowns, 14.7 yards per catch, 107.6 per game. His 1 year of eligibility left is a true slot. He's played like 90% of his collegiate snaps in the slot. Texas is obviously losing their starting slot, DeAndre Moore, to the transfer portal. Emmett Moseley played like 90% of his freshman year snaps at Stanford in the slot whenever he led the Cardinal in every single receiving statistic in 2024. So, you know, you think, could they move Moseley inside? Could they keep him outside? If they keep him outside, it probably means they're aiming for a portal slot receiver. Scudero is the best one. But I do also think the bowl game is going to have an impact on this. Dalen McCutcheon looks to be getting the start in the slot with DeAndre Moore in the portal. And then you also have a true freshman, Jermaine Bishop, coming in that should be able to play and contribute year one. And then, you know, Cohen Brown is obviously in the mix as well, coming up the pipeline. But, yeah, with Scudero, LSU has already been linked to them. I almost said Lincoln Riley. Lane Kiffin needs a few receivers after losing several to the draft and or the portal. And, I mean, hey, they call him the Portal King. He will get his people to pay up for a Scudero. So, yeah, Tulane, IOL transfer, Shader Hirsch, Shadre, I really don't know. But bit smaller, 6'2", 293, but he started 30 games at left guard, 4 games at right guard, 1 game at left tackle across 3 years. 7 of those 30 starts are his Power 4 teams, Duke, SMU, Ole Miss, OU, and Florida. He's graded really well 3 seasons in a row, better pass blocker than run blocker, but, you know, still has a ton of starting experience, three seasons of it. And this season, only gave up 7 pressures, 6 hurries, and 1 sack across 477 pass blocking snaps. He's the 4th highest graded run blocker and tied for the fourth highest graded run blocker in the G5 and tied for the highest graded pass blocker amongst guards in the G5. So, could be pretty plug and play. Obviously, Florida is the school to watch here, you know, given that John Summerall is now in Gainesville after coaching at Tulane the last 2 years, or at least as their head coach. Memphis, IOL transfer Malachi Breland. And I will be honest and provide some context. Like, I don't know the offensive lineman in the portal very well, but just from looking over PFF, going through portal rankings real quick, I do think most of the guys Texas is going to be interested in on the offensive line in the portal have yet to announce their intentions to go in the portal. They're going to prefer Power 4, you know, starting experience more than anything. And there's very few, like, there's none of that right now in the portal. So, but Memphis guard transfer Malachi Breland doesn't have, you know, quite the grades or experience as Hurst, but did start 12 games at left guard for Memphis this season and started 7 games at left guard in 2024, along with 1 game at right guard in 2023. He has 1 year of eligibility left. And or actually 2 years, sorry. And he's 6'5", 340, fits what Flood looks like and kind of that big human thing. And, you know, like Breland, graded as a better or like Hurst, graded as a better pass blocker than run blocker. Gave up 13 pressures, 9 hurries, 3 QB hits, and 1 sack across 482 passing or pass block snaps. Arkansas, obviously the one to watch here with Ryan Silverfield now in Fayetteville. But speaking of Arkansas, we got Arkansas D lineman transfer Ian Geffrard. Geffrard, I don't know. Need to figure that out. He's 6'5", 387 pounds. Interior D lineman, absolutely just mountain of a man. 682 career snaps, 324 have come in the A gap and 354 in the B gap. He was Arkansas's, you know, best interior D lineman this year. In Texas, they really need an A gap or an over the ball player, especially in Will Muschamp's defense that, I mean, puts the nose tackle over the ball on a lot of those snaps. The only player on the roster that's set to come back next year that fits that description is Josiah Sharma, who will be in year two. So they're going to need to get an A-gapper. And, I mean, this cat is 6'5", 387 pounds, and I believe has 1 year of eligibility left, has experience in the SEC, and is originally from Georgia. So, I mean, he's probably going to be the most coveted interior D-line A-gapper in the portal this cycle, or at least is as right now. Keaton Thomas out of Baylor, 25 consecutive games or 25 consecutive starts for the Bears. He's been in Waco for 2 years, was at JUCO in 2023, and then redshirted as a defensive back at West Virginia in 2022. Had back-to-back 100-plus tackles or a back-to-back season with 100-plus tackles. First Baylor Bear to do that since the 2012 and 2013 seasons. Was a captain for them this year, I believe, was all Big 12. And he finished 4th in the Big 12 in tackles this year. Really just active run and hit linebacker for Baylor. Could come in and start at Texas right away as an off-ball backer. could be Mike or Will, but it's definitely more of a Mike and has a lot more experience there. And speaking of Mike backers, Auburn linebacker transfer Robert Woodyard played opposite of Nick's best friend, Xavier Atkins, this season for the Tigers. Only has 11 starts to his name. All 11 came in 2025, but he's been in the program for 4 years, played in 29 total games, and in 2025 had 67 tackles, 31 stops, which PFF constitutes as a failure for the offense, 16 pressures, 2 sacks, and 1 pass breakup, in routes being the third highest graded linebacker in the SEC, according to PFF. He was also named first team All-SEC and has 1 year of eligibility left. And like Thomas is probably, or with Thomas, are probably the most coveted off-ball backers this cycle. He's also like Thomas, where he is a true Mike, could play Will, but definitely better suited to play Mike. And then Bo Masco out of Rutgers, I believe he's the fourth or fifth highest ranked corner in the portal. Was at Rutgers for 3 years, but redshirted year one, so he has 2 years of eligibility left. He did spend 2 seasons there in New Jersey with Texas corners coach Mark Orfi, who recruited him to Rutgers and signed him at Rutgers. So they have, the relationship in place. He started 16 games amongst 26 game appearances and, 2 seasons of eligibility left. You can obviously read it in the paragraph on the screen, but one thing I am watching here, while that does make a lot of sense, Cade Phillips and Grayson Littleton are penciled in as starters. Right now, the third starter at cornerback in bowl practice has been Kobe Black. Kobe Black will be in year 3 next year. Do you potentially piss him off and get, make him run off if you bring in a Bo Masco, who also has 2 years of eligibility left and, would compete for that starting spot, because they're not going to take Littleton or Phillips off the field. So what they end up doing at corner will be interesting. I think depending on how big of a profile that player is, what snap count he's guaranteed, it could push out a Kobe Black or another person in the room that wants more playing time in 2026. So that one will be interesting. And then last but not least, Edwin Joseph out of Florida State. Jelani McDonald did announce he will be back next year, but they still need a safety. 6'1", 201-pounder, played in 28 career games, including 10 starts, 854 career snaps, but 498 of those that come in the slot, so he pretty much is a nickel. Can't play either safety spot, though. Even though the defense will be slightly different with Muschamp compared to what PK had been running, the nickel is still really, really, really important in his defense. They need a physical player who can come up and make tackles, seal off running lanes, and Joseph has some experience doing that. So Texas, I haven't heard this myself, but I did see on 3 reported, Texas is one of the schools that has reached out. But regardless, he will end up in the SEC, whether it is Texas or not. So
I don't know. On 3's been reporting some things that haven't been true last couple of days, apparently, in the transfer portal. So, be careful what you hear out there.
I think that was basketball, though. But
it was basketball.
I don't know the full story there. We got a Cowboys question. Is Jaden Blue alive? Is he going to be back in Dallas next year?
Yeah, they'll at least give him a training camp shot. I would think he makes the roster next year, but he's going to at least get the training camp shot. It also depends what they do in free agency / the draft. There's some really interesting running back free agent options. I also think you will probably see Jaden this week against the Giants in the season finale. I think he's going to get one more run at it before the offseason.
Are they going to be sitting any running backs, or they're just
going to? I think they're going to sit Javonte Williams. He's been battling a shoulder injury these last couple of weeks. He's pretty much reached every milestone that, is worth it. 1,200 yards, double-digit touchdowns, and he left in the first half against the Commanders on Christmas with that shoulder injury and didn't come back. And then Malik Davis is battling a really nasty eye injury as well as an arm injury. So there's an outside chance that Jaden Blue might even be starting, but I think Malik Davis will at least be active.
Got it. sorry, I had something texted to me, but all right, I'm going to keep it moving. Nathan brought up, seems like LSU has so many tackle bodies entering the portal. Ori Williams come home. That's a cousin of Reuben Owens. Ori Williams.
Cousin.
Yeah. With Ori Williams, I don't know. Kerryus Kern, Tyree Adams, I do think we'll get some interest from Texas. I think Kyrus Kern is going to be out of the budget. Like, unless Texas is going to pay him like $1.5 million to play guard, that's not happening because someone will pay him that much money to play left tackle. And then Tyree Adams, I do think there'll be interest there from Texas. They have some ties there from Jabbar Jaluk. But someone is also probably going to pay him starting left tackle money because he can't start at left tackle. If you're Texas, you're not unseating Goosby. You're not unseating Brandon Baker. So I don't think Adams is likely. Williams makes a bit more sense. Still a long-term developmental prospect. A lot to work with there, but, you know, still needs a lot of work. So, you know, unless Trevor Goosby is going to change his mind, and, I mean, he still hasn't made up his mind, but it does appear he will be coming back. That seems more likely than not. Unless that changes, I don't think Texas is going to be in the Tyree Adams or Ori Williams sweepstakes, but you never know. Antoine said, interesting that players leave UT and go to Aggies or Sooners. UT should never accept a transfer from those dirty mother effers. Well, Texas did accept a long snapper or punter from OU a few years ago. But with Trey Wisner, that's probably what made you say that. I have heard Louisville, Colorado, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Penn State for Wisner.
That's about the NIL Mount Rushmore right there.
Yeah. The person
always misses Syracuse.
Yeah. Shit. Him and Jonte back together. I watch every Syracuse game.
Man.
But with Wisner, I mean, the person I talked to is like, look, it's super early. They're going to take calls from everyone, and they're looking for the biggest bag since they don't know if he's going to have an NFL career and are trying to maximize, which I get it. So, yeah. Nathan said, I was hoping Texas would get Riley Dodge. I'd never heard Texas was in the mix there. I heard he was going to TCU, UNT, then heard it was a done deal for TCU, and then like a day later, it's announced SMU got him. So, I think SMU just paid up to keep him or get him to the University Park and not Fort Worth. So, yep. Jose said, Jordan, I think Texas and Sark were all in on developmental heavy and minimal portal. Does that go out the window this offseason? Is it due to high school misses? Well, they do always want to prefer to be high school or primarily high school. It's cheaper long-term. It's better for the team, the culture long-term, players knowing the playbook, what they're supposed to be doing when they do and don't get the ball and, you know, when they're on defense. But you got to think about it. Texas has Arch Manning right now. Say what you want about him. You know, he is immensely talented and has a different ceiling for this program when he is at quarterback. That is fact. It's his final year in Austin next year. He can come back for a fifth year in 2027. Very unlikely to happen. He will eclipse the 25-start threshold by the end of next season. And if you're Texas, you have to make a push, go all in on year four. I don't know if all in is how I would describe Texas, you know, approaching this offseason. But I do think, you know, extremely motivated is something you can use. So with that being said, you know, yeah, Texas, they'd love to not take any portal players and only develop in-house. That's not how it works anymore. They have holes to fill in, linebacker, running back, safety, corner, interior D-line, maybe edge, the offensive line for sure. They have to get portal players. So I don't think it fully goes out the window this season. I don't think it's fully due to high school misses because everyone has high school misses. I think the main thing is, hey, they had to upgrade in some positions. In other positions, they didn't have to, but they will, because they have a ceiling at quarterback that they usually don't have. So that's what I'd say about that. But yeah. What up, Zay? And another from Temple Texas, Metroplex Therapon, I don't know. Yeah. Hey, Antoine brought up Ray Gates and Riley Dodge open up two powers in the DFW. DeSoto probably going to open. Duncanville looked like it was going to open, but
is he coming back?
He might be.
Jesus, man.
It actually looks like he is.
Let it go, man. Let it go.
Hey, I said it. He should have hung it up after Colin Simmons and Caden Durham graduated.
Keelan Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should have hung it up then.
Yeah.
I mean, Keelan Russell, they lost him and DeCorian Moore senior year. They lost in the semis to North Crowley.
Yeah.
but I would have tried to go out on top.
Yeah, Lancaster's already open. DeSoto, probably likely. Duncanville, we'll see.
North Crowley, South Lake open.
Salina probably opens. There's going to be some wild jobs open this cycle, no doubt.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, did you see the press conference from Kyle Flood or what he said?
No, I did not.
All right. I'm Kyle Flood. Ask me about what went wrong this year for Texas on the offensive line, and I'll paraphrase basically what he said.
Why are all your offensive linemen overweight?
Yeah, so, you know, our problems on the offensive line, we want, you know, continuity, and, you know, we're trying to play older players and, you know, doing our best to make it work, and, you know, we're trying. Yeah, next question. That's pretty much how it went. He got asked what happened with the offensive line this year. You know, why did it underperform so much? Why did it wait till game nine for y'all to make the galaxy brain decision that your five most experienced players is probably going to be your best starting five? And every question he dodged, he didn't give a real answer for anything. And no one expected him to, at least from the media market. That's kind of how he's always handled things in, you know, playoff press availabilities or other things. But yeah, so I don't know. With Kyle Flood at this point, I do think he's back next year. And I do think it's going to be a make or break year with a red hot seat under his butt. And they'll reassess it at the end of next season. So I don't know. I see both sides of him coming back versus him deserving to be fired. But at this point, I do think it looks like he's coming back. Also want to bring up that Chris Jackson, we are still expecting his final game to be on Wednesday. And that he will be either in the NFL or at another program next year. You know, still haven't heard anything when it comes to him re-signing. So, yeah, but regarding other coaches on defense, I know some people have been curious. You know, Kenny Baker, Alan Clark, Mark Orfie, are these guys going to be brought back? Kenny Baker very much seems like it. Alan Clark very much seems like it. Mark Orfie very much seems like it. Johnny Nansen, I do think so. And I do think Sark chose Nansen over PK whenever he fired PK. And I can talk about more of that once we get further into the offseason and away from it. But I don't know. If they were going to fire Nansen or get rid of him, I think it would have happened already. But on the same note, you can't fire PK and Nansen because who the hell was calling the defense for the bowl game? Maybe something happens after the bowl game, but I do think he's probably back. It is interesting, though, because Muschamp most of the time has been the linebacker's coach or the DB's coach when he's had the DC title. Rules have changed. Now you can have unlimited on-field coaches. That's why Pete Kwiatkowski went from being the DC and edge coach to just the DC, and that's how Alan Clark was brought on. But looks like he's just going to be DC. At safeties, we do think Travaris Robinson – who is at Georgia, is probably going to get that job. Still waiting to get a clear read on that. But I do think, you know, the longer this goes on and Texas doesn't have a safeties coach, the more it points to, you know, Texas and Robinson waiting for Georgia to be done in the playoffs. So, yeah. I mean, CBS, weren't Muschamp and Orfie together at South Carolina? Yeah, when Muschamp was there, Mark Orfie was a GA. And then he later became like an analyst or something there. I'm almost positive. So, yeah, let's see. Antoine said, Jordan, why aren't you in Orlando? Eric got to ask the first question. I am not in Orlando because, I'll be honest, I have no desire to ever go to Orlando the rest of my life. had to go there like two or three times for my sister played like select volleyball growing up. So I like the Orlando Convention Center and the Disney Wide World of Sports. And then in like fifth or sixth grade, went there for spring break to go to Disney World, and I got like sick as hell. Probably the most ill I've ever felt in my life. I think it was food poisoning, really bad food poisoning. When I was stuck in the hotel for like three whole days while the rest of my family was enjoying Disney World, just going through it. So that is the main thing I associate with the city of Orlando. And with that said, I don't really want to go back. And also, I mean, hey,
you did an Under Armour All-American game or two, right?
No, I've actually never done that either. We're going to have people down there, and from everyone I've heard that's covered that game and the game in San Antonio, I don't really have much of a desire to go. We should get some content from, you know, folks from 24/7 in Orlando for both the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl and the Under Armour All-American game. I will be in San Antonio next week. I'm going to head down to Austin either on Saturday or Sunday, and then we'll be at check-in day for the Navy All-American Bowl on Monday. But yeah, so
pull up this comment from our boy Patrick here. I hope you never have. This is how that conversation is going to go. Not in this house.
No, I mean, I know I have to go then, but no, you don't. Like, I know Disney World is bigger. Is it more expensive than Disneyland, which is in LA? Because I'd rather be over there. We got Legoland out there in San Diego. We'll go check that out, you know.
Legoland, fascinating. They have I will say Disneyland has or not Disneyland, but it's in LA. They have the Cars Land or whatever. And I fuck with Cars. Cars was my shit growing up. So I would do the little Cars Land, maybe the little Harry Potter world, but I don't think that's Disneyland. It's just whatever else is out there. I don't know.
Yeah, any 7-8-year-old boy in America, I fuck with Cars.
I fuck with Cars for real.
Yeah, no. I mean, man, to be honest, the entire All-American games, postseason games, have been ass lately. Because kids are now opting out. They don't want to play in it because they're going to do bowl practices, or they don't want to play in it because they're scared they'll get hurt. And then the seniors that show up don't want to get hurt, so they half-ass every route and look like dog shit, quite frankly. Yeah, but on the flip side, it is fun because you get juniors in this game who get a really good shot to improve everything, whether it's their ranking, how much they're going to make in college, opportunities at like any agent worth the fuck is in San Antonio the entire week. So a lot of opportunities for juniors, but as far as like the old traditional setup of it with seniors, a lot of that's gone. Yeah, let's see. Nick, I know you got to run.
I do.
But I got one thing for you.
Let's see it.
What do you think about Kyle Whittingham in Michigan? Because that happened since we talked.
That is – I saw a tweet. I saw a tweet this last weekend, and it perfectly encapsulates my thoughts. It said it was from a Utah fan, and it was saying Kyle Whittingham going to Michigan is like watching your parents. Yes. This is great. This is perfect. This is like watching your dad divorce your mom after 30 years and start dating a younger woman. Like, good for you, dad, but also what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
It's weird. It is so strange. And like the video of him being like, "Hey, what's up, Michigan fans? I'm Kyle Whittingham." It doesn't even look right. It looks AI. Like
that $14 hat off Amazon, same day delivery.
I will say this. If Michigan was trying to go for the safe hire, no bullshit, you know, all program guy, they couldn't have made a better hire at this point in the cycle, I think. But it's going to be strange. Kyle Whittingham to Michigan is like when the eighth grade math teacher gets fired for improprieties, and the principal has to come in and teach the final 9 weeks because they can't get anybody else to do it. But also he likes math. Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. I will say this one's good, but it's more like the mom divorcing the dad. He was kind of forced out. Some other good ones from message board geniuses. Rip apart all statue plans. This dude is a clown. And again, Utah made him step down. It's crazy that it takes 20 plus years for you to build all this and you're willing to burn it all for a short stint at Michigan. Let's get Michigan on the schedule and kick Witt's ass.
Why do they care? Why do they care? Why do they care this much? That's crazy. Like Utah made him step down. Yeah.
So, well, in 2019, he's like, "Hey, guys, I'm retiring soon. Morgan Scally, the DC, is my head coach in waiting." And then he didn't retire. And in 2021, allegedly, because I'm not going to get this correct, but Morgan Scally on an email said like the N-word or some slur or something. I don't remember what it was. But after that happened, Utah had to be like, "Yeah, we're not suspending him. He's still going to coach and be the DC. But he's not the head coach in waiting anymore." And then 2 years later, they announced him head coach in waiting again. But again, it was 2019 whenever Whittingham said, "Hey, I'm retiring soon. This is the head coach in waiting." And he just kept coaching. And the reason, or kind of the catalyst, what sped this up and got him kind of pushed out is because Kalani Sitake looked like he was going to go to Penn State. BYU and Utah have this weird deal going on where like half their staff went to the other school or coached with the other school, and it goes both ways. So, I mean, Whittingham hired his DC. It was the BYU DC. But if BYU was going to open, their first call was very likely going to be Scally. So Utah kind of was like, hey, Whittingham, you got to get out of here so we can make him the head coach so he doesn't become BYU's head coach. And this head coach in waiting that's been waiting for 6 years actually becomes the head coach. So that, to my understanding, is kind of what sped that all up with him getting forced out like he did.
Everyone wins. Everyone wins in my eyes.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, he didn't coach through the end of the season for Utah. Do you know?
No, he did. He definitely did.
Okay, got it. Because I thought it might have been like TCU and Gary Patterson. Like, hey, Gary, we love what you've done. This is your final year. You're going to resign and retire at the end of the year. And he's like, oh, you're firing me? Fuck you. And he walked out in like October or September.
Yeah.
And didn't coach the rest of the year. But
got to bounce out. Yeah. See you on Friday. See you next year. We'll have some college football quarterfinals to talk about.
Yeah. Hey, how about Mr. G5? Real competitive. He didn't like that one. He did not like that one. But all right. Hey, if you got any questions, drop in the chat because I will hit on them and then get out of here sooner than later. Cars Land is fire. Yeah. Let's see. Antoine said, Bull opt-out started with Leonard Fournette. It's just lame. Why is the guy with the fourth-round grade opting not to play football? Trey Moore, Gilbo, Burke. With Burke, I understand it. Trey Moore is like, brother, you are like a 6'1 linebacker that doesn't have crazy length or wingspan, laterally not very quick. Like, unless he tests out the ass, he's not going to get drafted. And also, like, you're drafting him to play off-ball linebacker when all of his best tape came off the edge, but he can't play edge in the NFL because he's 6'1 and 230 pounds. So Trey Moore, I mean, that one's a head-scratcher. But it does kind of make sense. Like, hey, if he's an off-ball backer, Anthony Hill's gone, Leonga LaFau's gone, they're playing a Michigan team that's going to run the shit out of the ball. If Michigan rushes for 250 yards and Trey Moore's playing backer, that makes him go from fringe draft guy to undraftable, regardless of testing. So I get it from that perspective. Now, Gilbo, on the other hand, he's not going to get drafted, but he played like four snaps for A&M. Got benched. Kobe Black played. Kate Phillips played. If Gilbo, the same thing happened, which is what would have happened, and he only played five snaps versus Michigan, why the hell is the NFL going to want him if it's like, hey, you can't even start or play over freshmen in college? So I do think Gilbo wasn't going to play much anyways, but you can't get benched if you don't, you know, if you opt out of the game. So I do think that's part of it. Let's see. Yeah, Antoine, Morgan Scally, I don't know if that's what he said, but I do know he said like a slur of some sort or something derogatory that they had to put out like a press release and apologize for it. But I don't know. But I'll just look it up because I'm sure people are curious. Let's see. Suspension. Oh, he did get suspended. Oh, what the hell? Okay, per Wikipedia, as noted above, Scally admitted in June 2020 that he used a racial slur in a text to a recruit in 2013 and was promptly suspended by the university. An investigation revealed that there were also two additional incidents where Scally was accused of using racial stereotypes. He was reinstated to his position as defensive coordinator after an external review by the university, but was reported to have taken a significant pay cut in the initial offer from the university to be its head coach in waiting. This is not worded correctly. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I guess it's not public what he texted or did, but So yeah, there it is. Who am I most excited to see from the All-American Bowl? Need to look at the roster. I'll try to name someone who didn't play in it last year, because there are a few of those guys, including your boy Jamarian. All right, what do we got here? Chris Henry's in it. I don't think he's showing up, though. Or Tristan Keys. Probably unlikely. Antoine, I'll answer your question after I finish this. Here's a look at kind of the roster. This one isn't official. We still don't have the official one. Ahmad Hudson out of Ruston is going to be awesome. Did someone say Cam Coleman to the portal? There it is. Cam Coleman intends to enter the portal, per a source, according to Matt Zenitz. I'll hit on that in a sec. But regarding players, Ahmad Hudson, I'm excited to see him. Freak show, top-ranked tight end in 2027. Jameon Winfield, the one that got away from Texas. Curious to hear what he has to say about what happened with Texas. But, I mean, he's a monster. Excited to see him. Malachi Lee, excited to hear how close it was with him getting out of his paperwork going to Texas. He is going to stick with Michigan. That's official. Who else? Corey Daly, my nephew. I'm excited to see him. Come a long way. Been on him since his freshman year. Super lanky kid with a ton of potential. Four sports star in high school. Baseball, basketball, track, football. Just great. Who else is on here? Tristan Keys, like I said, but I don't think he's supposed to show up. Joel Wyatt is pulling up. He is ending up at Tennessee or Vanderbilt. I can't remember. But is from Tennessee, is a two-way athlete. He's pretty much like Michael Terry on steroids, except he's way more physical and actually played defense in high school. Awesome prospect. Have no idea what he's going to play in college, but super fun. Joshua Samapele, this kid is awesome. I think 24/7 is the only site that has him as a four-star or as a five-star. 2027 kid, he's humongous, 6'9", 340, and is going to make $1 million-plus as a true freshman. Schools love this kid. Braden Rouse, he ended up at Tennessee over Texas. It was really fun to watch and cover for the spring and summer. It does feel kind of down year over year. Let's see. Sherrod Baker. I didn't know Sherrod Baker was playing in the game. That'll be fun. Obviously, tremendous playoff run from him in crazy junior year. But, all right, going to hit on these questions and comments. Jordan, is Devin or Jordan Coleman a tackle? Jordan Coleman is a right tackle, jumbo guard. Devin is a guard. Regarding Cam Coleman, I want to make it very, very clear. I am not saying he's going to end up at Texas because I don't know where he's going to end up. But what I do know is Texas has had communication with him, his camp. I should say definitely his camp, not him, because they can't do that. And, I mean, to be honest, a lot of America has had communication with his camp. They have been talking to people and getting offers for over a month now. They knew Hugh Freeze was going to get fired before it happened, just like everyone else did. So, with Coleman, you know, he's an immediate difference maker at Texas. There's no question about it. But he also might cost, you know, $2 to $2.5 million. Is he worth that? If I'm Texas, would I pay it? Hell yeah, I'd pay it. But I'm not Brandon Harris. I'm not Steve Sarkisian. I don't have, you know, those keys. And I also don't have the full context of what everyone else in the room is making. I can guarantee you Ryan Wingo is the highest paid player, and there's no way in hell he's making $2 million or more. I can tell you that. Probably somewhere between 1.1 and 1.5, but I wouldn't expect him to be higher than that. So with Cam Coleman, Texas is going to be mentioned in every story. That Longhorn logo is going to be on a lot of graphics. But there's not much I can say right now, not because I'm hiding anything, but because I haven't gotten enough intel that leads me to believe Texas is the leader or anything like that. They are going to be in the race and the running, just like they are with Nick Marsh, just like they will be if Ryan Williams goes in the portal, which is very possible. For everything that I've heard, Cam Coleman, Nick Marsh, Ryan Williams are the three, you know, top receivers Texas has been in touch with, or has been in touch with their agent, their circle, whatever you want to call it. because, again, they cannot directly talk to a player. It is kind of funny, though, real quick. Like Steve Sarkisian, let's say he wants Ryan Williams, right? He can't call Ryan Williams because that is a massive NCAA violation. But what is in rules or in line with the rules, he can call Ryan Williams' agent, and the agent is, you know, the go-between. Or he calls Ryan Williams' agent, and that agent adds Ryan Williams to the call on a three-way call. That is legal. But Sark can't call him directly because that's illegal, right? Way to go, NCAA. Yeah, let's see. Tom Loy getting a lot of heat from Auburn fans. I don't know what this is about. Did he say something that he was staying or something? Let's see. Happy birthday, Sal. There you go. And I talked about it earlier. Caleb Hawkins from North Texas. I do think he's going to be an option, but Texas would much rather have a Jaden Baugh or an Isaac Brown. And those guys are going to be a similar price tag to Caleb Hawkins. They're going to want two running backs, but you don't pay – like, if you're Texas, it financially is not possible to land two of the top five, two of the top six running backs in the portal. So, yeah. And Marcus Freeman coming back. Not surprising at all. I don't think he would have taken the Giants job. I definitely wouldn't if I was him. But, yeah, let's see. That is pretty much all I got. Tomorrow I will be on probably with Wags. I need to double check with him first. And then we will be off. I believe it is Wednesday. Let me double check that. Yes. So we're going to have shows today, tomorrow. Wednesday is game day shows only. Pre-game with Bucky and BK, 11:30 to 1:30, and post-game with Zay and Rodney. We are off on Thursday, New Year's Day, and then we resume our regular schedule on Friday. So you'll see me tomorrow and on Friday. I'm getting out of here. Y'all have a great day, great Monday, and hopefully we get some more portal news. It's about the time where it's going to start going crazy. A lot of announcements are going to be made December 31st, January 1st, January 2nd. It, of course, opens January 2nd. And going to be a very busy month of January, not only for me, but, you know, reporters, industry folks, staffers, recruiting staffers, all that. So getting around that time of the year. But nonetheless, peace. Y'all have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.